You're listening to Seeking Change, the podcast where industry collaborates on eco-efficient minerals and made possible by the generosity of our sponsors and volunteers. In today's episode, we are joined by Seek International Executive President and Director Janine Herzig, alongside a new advocate, Sarah Bacot. Together, they offer insights into Sarah's history with Seek, her motivations for rejoining the Seek International team, and her aspirations for future collaboration.
Hello, Sarah. It is so wonderful to have you back in the Seek International family. So before we really get started, I think it would be really good for our listeners to understand the background that you have with Seek and I guess why you've taken the decision to get more involved again.
Oh, Janine, thank you very much. Seek, it's an absolute thrill to be here. I do think of Seek very much as a close to my heart project that, for which I'm very emotionally and philosophically aligned. I was fortunate to be the founding CEO of Seek back in 2011 when we got the organisation up and running. I initially came on board at the request of the directors to do a short 3-month project, and that was to set up a database which would consolidate at that time the leading practice research papers that had been published or presented at meetings around the world. And to be perfectly honest with you, at that stage, I didn't even know what comminution was. I had a very steep learning curve that I went under over that 3 months. And as I read the extracts from these technical papers that I was collating and labeling and building a database, I was intrigued by this incredible opportunity to take the learnings and research findings out of the university and apply them in the field where they could make such profound difference, not just to the reduction of energy and water within the mineral process, but to the use of the rare resources that is energy and water within those communities in which they were operating and the implications that that had for the social license to operate. So my original engagement with Seek pivoted from being a short-term, 3-month project to being a full-time journey for 5 years, where under the direction and with enormous support from the Seek board, I was incredibly fortunate to be able to build the basis of what today is known as Seek International, finding sponsorship and support from visionary mineral industry leaders.
Fantastic. It's always interesting to hear people's journeys and how something that started off as a short-term project ends up being something much, much bigger. And I love the fact that you found so much passion and found it so compelling to, you know, be focusing efforts in the areas of energy and water and other utilization of our resources. So that's wonderful that that was able to happen. So what are you doing with yourself these days? What have you been doing since Seek, and how is what you're doing now brought you back to being involved with Seek as an advocate?
Absolutely. So my journey since that time has extended within the mining industry. Seek was the first opportunity I had to work within the sector. And I have to say that I feel as if Seek gave me more than I was able to ever give it. It exposed me to a huge world of passionate, committed people who were running businesses from single owner operated through to multinational organisations. And I really felt that fundamentally all these people were aligned on achieving the very best objectives, and that was for their company, their shareholders and their stakeholders to be successful. Further to my role from Seek, I moved across and worked in one of the original federal Australian government industry growth centres, taking a role as the general manager for education and leadership. And that tied in really nicely with the work that I've been doing at SEEK, where we were running educational workshops, but it focused more on looking at how could we take Australia's small to medium-sized business owners who were working in the mineral supply sector, how could we elevate their efforts and escalate their business growth, given that they were such a significant and large sector of the Australian economy. It was a very exciting period, one where we were able to bring together government funds, research funds, and industry, and creating these partnerships, we were able to assist small to medium-sized businesses partner with large mining companies, which they would not otherwise have had the ability to be able to do, and escalate and accelerate those companies rapidly and their growth and participation in global markets. So it was a pretty exciting time. Further to that, for personal reasons, I relocated to South Australia. South Australia was originally my home state. I left here many, many years ago after finishing my tertiary studies. And so coming back some 30 years later, I'm able to enjoy the beautiful things about South Australia as if I'm a tourist here. And I truly do appreciate the very light traffic after living in multinational cities such as Kuala Lumpur, Taipei, and Melbourne. I had delight in the fact that I can reach my destination sometimes in less than 5 minutes. And I also delight in the fact that I can get down to the airport and fly directly out of Adelaide to an international destination with ease. So it's a little bit of a mix of both worlds. I continued my focus when I came to South Australia in the research area, working specifically with a research institute and understanding firsthand some of the challenges that go behind establishing research funding, attaining research funding, and the challenges that researchers face in terms of seeing projects through. So I feel to some extent I've had the opportunity to have seen different aspects, the small to medium-sized business perspective, the global mining company perspective, and now I've seen through the lens of the research perspective as well. And I still strongly endorse and believe that collaboration is the only way for us to innovate, for us to move forward and find solutions to some of the really tricky problems we have within the industry. But at the same time, to be able to desensitize some of that risk by sharing it across different organizations and partnerships together.
Yeah, just speaking of partnerships, that was something I was going to pick up on in what you've just described. And that's really SEEK's strength is the ability to bring together partners that may not otherwise engage with each other and to use collaboration to really accelerate that knowledge sharing and learning and so forth. And also bringing in the research side of things as well. It's so important. So if we talk about the barriers there that exist, and, you know, they can be quite significant when it comes to treatment of IP and other, you know, sensitivities. Have you had any learnings there about the best ways to break down some of those barriers and, you know, how SEEK might be able to utilise those learnings to better facilitate that collaboration?
Ultimately, it comes down to people and their goodwill. I strongly believe that if you have the best intentions and if you have a shared understanding of your objectives, that you can bring people together in what would, as you say, typically be a competitive environment, and you can put in place a framework which will support the vested interests of the different partners, but no platform or framework will succeed unless the partners at the table are genuinely interested in collaborating and working together. And that might mean at times putting a hand up and saying, listen, we're not particularly happy with sharing this, we need to do this in a different way, and for the other members of the partnership to be willing to undertake whatever process is involved to do so. We live in a very regulated and litigious world, and we can put all of those different regulations in play, but at the end of the day, it will come down to the willingness of the individuals at the table to share and collaborate and to find a way, the willingness to find a solution to work together, as opposed to simply sitting behind a regulation that says, well, our company policy says that we're unable to do that, therefore I cannot share it with you. I believe that it is possible to break down those barriers. And I've seen it. We've seen it happen. We've seen, I think, probably one of the most wonderful pieces of work that we saw was a work by Dr. Grant Ballantyne, one of your board directors, mm-hmm. with whom I worked very closely in the early years. And Dr. Ballantyne developed a unique and ground-changing methodology which allowed us to benchmark performance of different mineral processing operations so that individual mining operators could compare their performance against other operators. Now, there was a lot of resistance to doing that because, of course, by sharing information, it became and put themselves at risk of displaying how some of the profitability of their operation might be positioned. But every operation was unique and different, and therefore the methodology that Dr. Ballantyne put in place was such that he was able to create a level playing field to make those comparisons. Now, I often think of these comparisons a little bit like, you know, I often think about the fact that if we were to compare every flight that took off from Melbourne to Singapore, every single flight that is taken is undertaken with a different payload in different weather conditions and with different pilots and staff, different ground crew and so on. So it is, nonetheless, they benchmark every single flight they take. They compare the fuel efficiency, the overall outcome of the flight, the profitability. They've got many similar competing priorities within that particular situation. So I think in other sectors, we do it really well, and it's great to see that we can apply that in the mining sector.
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, you need to have that transparent sharing, and, you know, by benchmarking, you can create that positive competitive environment to be more aimed at not necessarily profitability, but, you know, looking at how to best extract the maximum value from our resources and really being innovative about how that work is undertaken and the technologies that you might use to reduce your energy consumption, your water consumption and your emissions and so forth. So, yeah, really, really important. So how would you sort of describe SEEK's role in all of this? What is it about SEEK that provides that opportunity to really bring together the METS providers, the resource companies, the researchers and government and so forth into that collaboration and sharing space?
I think the fact that SEEK's mission is very clear, simple and succinct, mm-hmm. and the fact that anyone participating with SEEK understands what that mission is and understands that the objective is clear. It's not about the individual company. So anyone participating in the workshop with SEEK knows that the outcome is intended to be for the industry's gain. The outcome is for the industry's development and the industry's, and hence the stakeholder and shareholder benefit. In many ways, SEEK is a neutral organisation. It's the Switzerland of research. In the sense that people can come together, they can debate, they can test, they can argue, and they can trial and compare methodologies from one operation against another, and can therefore lift the performance of the entire industry and its impact in the community in which it works. There's no doubt, having spent a number of hours discussing the impact of energy and water use within the mining locations, there's no doubt in my mind, having spent time talking to the CEOs of these large global companies, that they are genuinely concerned about the impact that the companies have on the communities in which they work. At that time, they would often refer to what they called social license to operate. Today, it's better known as ESG, environment, social and governance. And there's no doubt in my mind that they are even more important today than they ever were, because without the support of the community in which those operations take place, the operations will discontinue. They will not continue. They will not be allowed to continue. So it's very clear to me that there is a genuine desire from the mining companies to engage with the best technology leaders, with the emerging technology leaders, with innovative thinkers, and so on.
So speaking of innovative thinkers and emerging talent coming through the industry, do you see also that that is driving us towards better ESG outcomes as well with young people and our new and emerging leaders who are coming through with really a really greater understanding of the impact on our communities and a greater empathy, I guess, and care for the environment and for community? Do you think that's helping, absolutely, having those people coming through?
I think there's going to be a coming together of two things. One is that we have educated and are providing the resources for the better informed opinions of the existing leaders through organisations such as SEEK. We are providing them with the material where they can make qualified comments based on research about the improvements that they've made, as opposed to ambiguous claims that no one can really underscore. But what I see is this coming together is we have a generation of emerging leaders for whom the environment is paramount. The environment and the choices that they use to live their lives, the way they behave as consumers, is profoundly impacting our community. Even today, we're seeing 11 and 12-year-olds having an impact on the consumer impact, and that is when they go shopping with their parents, discouraging their parent from buying a particular product because it might have too much packaging, and indicating to their parent that they want them to choose an alternative substitute because it doesn't have the plastic packaging, for example. So I see that we've got existing young leaders, mid-career leaders, who are already on that spectrum of knowledge and of commitment to the environment, who are going to come together and support the leading thought practices that are also coming through from our existing leaders. So I think there's a terrific time and emerging and growing and increasing energy behind, sorry for the pun, increasing energy behind the opportunity for SEEK to continue to have a significant impact in industry.
So teasing out a bit more about collaboration, the importance of having an interdisciplinary approach is something that SEEK has really recognised is evolved from largely being focused in comminution and now sort of broadening out into more ESG outcomes and particularly water management. Is that something that you have fostered throughout your career, working across other disciplines, learning from other sectors about how we might do things better in the resources sector?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that there are opportunities for us to look at the way in which processes are being undertaken, but look across sectors for the way, as I gave the analogy of the airlines, look for examples of challenges in other sectors and see how they're dealing with that. understand how they've overcome some of the barriers that they had, understand how they've tackled some of those issues. I think in many cases we can learn a great deal from other sectors and be prepared to change. I think a willingness to try and to try something different, to look at adopting a different technologies, or to perhaps step back from what you're doing and understand what are the core abilities of your organisation. You might think that your core abilities are extracting gold, but perhaps they're actually about managing a rare and limited resource such as water. Mm-hmm. Perhaps your expertise is really in how do we maximise the return of water on this site? How do we clean the water? What do we do with it? And therefore, what could you do with those skills and knowledge and creating allied opportunities or perhaps spinning off a new opportunity? So I think there's lots of different ways that organisations can take themselves. I have a lovely example, if I could share it, which was came out of a workshop where we were looking at small to medium-sized businesses and looking at what their skill sets were and how they might be able to digitise those skill sets. And one of the particular companies were contracted to understand the stability of a loading wharf in the ocean. And their job was to go and check that the piers were stable, to inspect the piers and to therefore monitor that it was safe for the ship to come in. And it suddenly occurred to them that they could be replaced by a shipping company drone that could come in before the ship docks. The drone could whiz around the piers and have a good look at the piers and take photographs even and send them back real time and even possibly do some moisture tests and other things. And they were suddenly confronted by this idea that, gosh, they could be replicated and replaced in just a heartbeat by a piece of simple technology you could probably buy from Harvey Norman. And then they realised, though, that they had gathered a lot of data about ships and coming into the dock, and they knew a lot about the profile of different weights, different tides, different weather conditions, and they started to think about how they could apply those different areas of expertise and the data that they collected and how they could pivot that information into being very useful for the ship or shipping company. So instead of the shipping company having to do all that analysis themselves, they could turn to this third party. So these are the sorts of things where I think thinking laterally and outside of the square, A, it's how SEEK came to be in the first place. It was thinking laterally outside the square. And I think that that embodies the sort of culture behind SEEK in terms of saying we bring people together to think laterally and outside the square and try and solve problems together.
Yeah, I've heard a number of people say that it kind of feels like the sector is catching up to where SEEK was, you know, 13 years ago when they set out. Do you see that in a similar way, that people are really now embracing all of those principles and aims that SEEK had it, but back then it was probably a little bit harder to sell that story to some people?
Yes, there were definitely some people who were reticent and particularly worried about IP and confidentiality. Mm. I think that it takes time. We are a richer society by acknowledging and recognising that people have different risk levels and that appetite to diminish risk is, in fact, an advantage because it probably put in place some very, very good resources to make sure that we made sure that the organisation could deliver on its commitment to keep information confidential. So, yes, I think it's lovely to see that the industry's confidence has grown in SEEK's ability to be able to manage information confidentially, but also to treat all parties at the table with respect, with confidentiality, but with the energy and good spirit of collaboration and partnership.
Absolutely. And, you know, also the function of the SEEK medal and how, you know, SEEK is able to use that process to really highlight the best practices there in terms of technical research and operations, you know, really allows a spotlight to be shone on those applications that are really working. And, you know, sometimes you do need to show things that aren't working very well in order to really indicate, you know, where changes can happen and where you can have a positive impact on the operations.
Absolutely. The SEEK Medal was an exciting initiative, one that we introduced in the early years. It's now, what, celebrated 10 years at least, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think 12, this will be the 12th year, so yeah.
And it's always a joy, and I'd have to say, having more recently worked in a research organisation, I can truly say that researchers are often under-recognised for the impact that they have. And so to be able to recognise their work by awarding a medal was a great thrill to see how it also encouraged them to continue with their work and the incredibly vital work that they do. So we're very fortunate in the sector itself. We do have incredible research organisations globally, and I'm delighted to say that those research organisations in the main are very well connected and collaborate wherever possible. They're very respectful, in my experience, of each other's specific areas of skill. And along that rain, I think it's terrific. It's great the way the research sector in the mining industry works.
Well, Sarah, it has been an absolute pleasure having this discussion with you today. I love the positivity that you bring and, you know, the deep experience across, you know, a multitude of sectors, and the perspective that you bring. We are absolutely delighted to have you back in the SEEK family as an advocate, and really look forward to your contributions in the future.
Oh, Janine, thank you very much. I am delighted to be back. It feels like coming home. I'm really excited about supporting SEEK, and look forward to doing so on a global basis. I'm certainly very excited. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you found value and ideas from this episode. Your voice and advocacy can help us to expand conversations in eco-efficient mineral processing. So, if you have enjoyed the podcast, please give us a positive rating or even write a quick review on Google or Apple iTunes. If you'd like to stay informed and involved, you can tap into free resources at our website, seekthefuture.org. That's seekthefuture.org. You can also subscribe to our regular SEEK News, which features information on new podcasts, videos, and events. And to join our expanding group of advocates and sponsors, just email comms@seekthefuture.org. That's comms@seekthefuture.org. Thank you, and we hope you'll join us for the next Seeking Change podcast.